Hi everyone, it's Sierra here and you're listening to the College Podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to a new week. I am so excited for this episode. It is about adopted toxicity. So really quick, I'm going to explain what that means. So I totally came up with the phrase adopted toxicity. Maybe it's out there on the internet, I'm not quite sure. Kind of the same deal with my summer dilemma episode. But essentially, toxicity is something that is toxic, and we've kind of, I've seen that term quite frequently now. I think I see the term toxic on like Twitter and YouTube the most, but it's essentially something that is not productive to society and can be very, very hurtful to others. And so we have, all of us have experienced a toxic trait, whether you have a toxic trait or others have a toxic trait, we've all experienced it. So I thought it'd be really interesting to kind of talk about adopted toxicity and how toxicity in your formative years can really like force you or involuntarily have you pick up certain toxic traits. So I noticed that growing up, the most toxic traits I think I was exposed to were like people stereotyping. And then also, which is, you know, something that's kind of, stereotypes is something that really we should have walked away from by now. So there's no excuses on that. When I see people stereotype, I'm like, come on, it is 2021. Let's get over that. But then there's also some things that's a little bit more new, which I have some more grace towards, which is like, everyone believing everything they see on the internet. That is really, really scary. And I've had conversations with people and they know people who believe every single thing on the internet and it truly affects people. And I think, if I'm being quite frank, we're living in a time where believing everything you see on the internet has obviously affected our society in more ways than one. And I think that is a really, really toxic trait that one can adopt. And then something I think a little bit more nuanced is kind of the overworking in society and putting really all your stress, energy, effort, and concern into work, which I feel like, so those three points are something that I think in my life, and especially when I was reflecting on what I should put in this episode, are like the main toxic traits that I've seen people have or are most prevalent in what I've seen in my life today. But in this introduction, I just kind of wanted to say that as I'm becoming more aware of myself, I've realized I'm able to realize these toxic traits more. And therefore, when I'm understanding other people's toxic traits, like stereotypes, believing everything you see on the internet, working too much, and that's just, a list of three. But of course, there are millions of toxic traits that, you know, you can see on a daily basis that I've realized in self-reflection, like, oh my gosh, I have some toxic traits as well. And I thought that'd be something interesting to kind of talk about, because I feel like when people bring up toxicity, it's like, oh my gosh, it's bad. You need to stop that and stuff, which is totally agreed. But then it also kind of comes into terms with like cancel culture too, where if someone does something toxic, they can just be canceled on the internet, where in some frame, yeah, I understand that. Something you can kind of look back on and go, oh, maybe that person doesn't know and now they need to learn or something like that, if that makes any sense. But essentially, this episode is about adopted toxicity, and I think it is best to get this episode started. So for what is going on this week? So since this is the College Podcast, I should probably give you an update on college. But so I just finished all my summer work, and by the next episode, I will all be moved in. And I'm currently packing for college and trying to figure out everything that I need, and don't think I have it figured out, but it'll be all right. So yeah, it's next episode, I'll be all moved in and starting college, and I can't wait to share all that experience with you. But I feel like summer is definitely a time for like deep intuitive thinking. And I don't want to say this is deep intuitive thinking, but this is my shot at deep intuitive thinking. So take it or leave it. And yeah, before we get completely into it, I do want to say that these are all my opinions, and my opinions are not true or false because they're opinions, and opinions cannot be true or false. So Yes, but let's get into it. I'm so excited. So as I kind of mentioned before, but toxic traits others in my circle have, and I have always kind of held the toxic traits against them. In some regard, that is right. I think like stereotypes is something you should definitely educate people on. But then there are other things like placing so much emphasis on work and work ethic and just different ideas of like what is right and wrong is something that I think you need to be a little bit, you should look into yourself first before you start calling out other people's toxic traits. Because if you have people that are close to you, you get to know like every side of them. And then you're like, oh wait, this side is super, super toxic. Or I'm trying to use a different word besides toxic. Like maybe this side of them isn't super helpful or productive. But then you realize like, oh wait, I have parts of me that are not super healthy or productive either. So I think it's important to kind of look back on life and go like, oh, this is where I learned that trait, and this is why this isn't right, and this is why I should reject that trait. And overall, like, because I feel like toxicity is like kind of trendy on the internet, I just kind of want to say that like this episode is not like a confession, but an acknowledgement that really ties into like coming of age, and that's what this podcast is about. So although I'm talking about toxicity, which can kind of be uncomfortable, it's a part of coming of age of realizing like, hey, like I picked up on these traits that aren't that good, and I would not be doing my job if I didn't talk about them, because if that's something that I'm experiencing in my coming of age, therefore I should be talking about them. But I feel like the first trait that I like picked up, or is something that has kind of been pushed on me and on a really early age, is like work ethic. And I see it in a lot of my friends too. And I think it's something just kind of an American thing to do, is like to really place a ton of value on work. I mean, when you think of it, the American school structure is like kind of set up like a job, although it's not 100% relevant to like, you know, the job structure we have today. When it was built, it was super relevant and super correlative to how working was at that time. So I think that's really interesting too, that, you know, by kindergarten throughout 12th grade, I was kind of in a working world, and really you're like being brought up in this working world and being taught how to sit at a desk and how to listen and how to follow rules and stuff, which are all super important things. But then when you look back, you're like, oh, wow, I was like taught, you know, ever since I was like 5 or 6 in kindergarten, I was learning how to be in the workforce. Like that is insane when you think of it. Like you're brought up to be in the workforce, which is really something that's interesting, because there's no way a 5-year-old can make that decision. So the decision was made for me. And, you know, I'm glad I went to school and stuff, but it's just kind of interesting to think about, like, whoa, like I was set up to be in the workforce before I even was capable of making a decision if I wanted to go into workforce, if, you know, a desk job was right for me and different things like that. But it's just really interesting to see the structure of it all. And then on top of that, I grew up in a very like hardworking family and a really like work and career focused area, because the area or my school district like is definitely an area where they're very, very career focused. So everyone in my class and everything, like we all just knew that we'd go to college. And that was just something that was really pushed on us at an early age, which is really interesting, because that's determining what jobs are really like available or like acceptable for us to have, you know, by the age of 5 or 6. Because I remember like we would do something in the newspaper, and I read other people's responses later on, because my school continued to do it, of like what job they want to have and what they need to do to complete that job. Or one person was like, sorry, I kind of laughed in close to the mic there, but one person was like, I want to be a fisherman when I grow up. And then the next question is like, well, what do you have to do to be a fisherman? Like, go to like fisherman college, where obviously fisherman college, I don't think exists. But clearly, there's someone in the background saying that they need to go to college. So they decided freshman college was right for them, which I think is really like brings up like a dichotomy there. Like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like they want to do these fun jobs, but then also have the idea of like college needs to be stamped behind it. And I just find that so crazy because clearly a 5 or 6 year old cannot figure out what they want to do for their career. But then they know the stuff that they need to get there. They know that they need to go to college to get there. And I just find that so incredibly interesting. And I think that might be a part of this work ethic / workaholic / overworking kind of dilemma we all have in society, where we work very hard or only really place our value or emphasis on work. And I think hard work is great. But you also need to find something else to do, is what I'm realizing, because life can become super unfulfilling if you put all of your eggs in one basket. And I think that's what I see. Like, I think that working 40 hours a week and getting the job done and working up and having purpose is excellent, and we should keep that for sure. But then clearly, we put so much weight on that, where kids that want to be a fisherman when they grow up think that they need to go to college for that, which I just think is such insane thinking. And how, like, not insane that the 5-year-old thinks how they need to go to college for that, but just insane that college is being pushed at such an early age. And it really shows like how value is put into work at such an early age. And then I wonder like if their art project or if they're reading or if their sports are really put at that same value. Because although people in the end, not in like, because at the end or after you finish school, like, yes, you'll have a job, but then like you have to do something else. Like, is family work put at that same weight? Right now, I don't really think so. Our activities or getting together with friends and having cards and, you know, entertaining people, is that put at the same weight? I don't think so. Although to be a balanced and happy person, all of those layers of one's time and one's interests and one's scope should be put at the same weight. And I think that's really where the toxicity comes from. And it's kind of like I have to rewire that in my own brain too, where I put so much value into my work and into my education, but then the little bit of free time I have to doodle or to read or to talk to people or really, you know, to work on art projects and stuff, like, I put that at such a lower weight where, like, if it doesn't get done, I don't care, which is sad because I should care. And then also, like, I just feel like if I don't get all my work done for the day, I'm incredibly upset. But then if I don't do something that feeds my soul more, I really don't care, which is clearly not good. But I don't think it's super uncommon with the people that I know and really, like, who I surround myself with and in the area and culture I grew up in, which I think is something that we all could work on. And then just to add another layer to that, and to really tie it into my formative years. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you could hear that, but my dad was just coughing from the other room and I could hear it through my mic. So hopefully you cannot hear that. Maybe I'll edit it out. Maybe I won't. I kind of find it funny, especially because I'm talking about serious topics, but you can hear my dad coughing in the other room. But anyways, so when I was looking back at my formative years, I also found an additional layer, which is like when I was starting to spend time on YouTube and the internet, that's when hustle culture was like just introduced. Like that was like the Jake Paul, Logan Paul, like vlog time. Not like, I don't think Gary Vee was like out there yet, but it was very much like hustle culture, hustle culture, hustle culture. And yes, hustle culture is still very well prevalent right now, but it was just like so new and there was nobody talking about like the adverse effects of hustle culture yet. So that's like, I remember when I was like in eighth grade, I started like working harder because hustle culture was so common, where I felt like I needed to sit down and study for double the time. Although, were my studying hours as more productive? No. But I felt like that started to add an extra layer of emphasis on school and then later work, because being told to work harder was so, so common. And yes, again, there's nothing wrong with hard work. But then you also have to put an equal amount of weight on other things that make you a sane person. Or, like, I read a few studies actually on overworking, but I was really trying to see, like, what are the actual problems of overworking? Because yes, I myself have found problems in overworking, but, like, what are the actual terms for this? Like, what does it actually do to my body besides just what I'm feeling? I pretty much figured out that overworking takes a significant toll on the body, like anything from like mental health problems to blood pressure to diabetes, like it does, you know, like obesity and stuff. Overworking creates so many health problems where if working is supposed to solve all your problems, well, it's not helping your body out, and the body, you know, your body, you know, you carry your body with you everywhere you go, so it's important to take care of it. And I just found that incredibly interesting how, like, hustle culture says one thing that you need to do to find happiness, but then clearly your body isn't getting everything it needs from overworking. So I feel like that's something to kind of point out. And yeah, I just think that's really interesting. And there, so I'm seeing hustle culture as somewhat toxic. And then it's like, oh, if you do research on overworking and what that does to your body, yes, it is literally toxic. It literally hurts your body, like overworking and not getting enough sleep. And then just all the stress that comes in with working more because you need to kind of give your brain a break and stuff. It's really, really interesting to see. And then whenever I feel like pressure, like, oh, I should just stay up later and just get this done, I'm like, nope, like, I need to watch my show because that makes me happy, or read my book because that makes me happy, and go to bed because it's really, really not worth it in the end, which I think is, I'm so glad that I learned this when I did before I started college. But I still see it so much with people my age, and then it's like, am I going to fall into that again? You know, it's just, I don't know, it's something to be like super mindful about. And that's why I wanted to have this episode and really to kind of talk about these overarching themes that are so, so prevalent in my generation. And overall, when I was kind of thinking about this, I realized that I've come to find that it is not the working hard or working smart that is difficult or toxic. It's the feeling of never working hard enough, because I will put in like a 10-hour day, but feel like, oh my gosh, for that 30 minutes, I wasn't productive. Like, you can really get in your head, because essentially, like, in our world today, like, someone could say like, oh yeah, well, you know, you worked an extra hour today. That's great. But I saw you were having a lot of fun today, or you took a longer lunch break or something like that. Like, people have no problem pointing out like your flaws in work instead of congratulating the overall meaning or the overall work or the overall effort it took, where criticism is very, very common in the workplace. And then also just like, especially in the academic realm, oh my gosh. 'Cause I would just remember like hearing kids be like, oh, I stayed up till 2 studying for this test. Oh, I didn't sleep at all. Where it's like, oh, well, I studied for the test and I went to bed at 10 to get up at 6 for school. And I thought I did well, but maybe I wasn't studying enough. And then I would get nervous, where I felt like no matter what people were saying, I could never work hard enough, which is so, so incredibly toxic. So I'm like, no, looking back, I'm like, no, you were fine. Like, you just planned out your time better and had better time management skills, but then you don't necessarily have the bragging rights or the same like high school ethos as other people do because you weren't up till 2 studying. And I think that is something in our culture that really needs to kind of change or something that I'm personally choosing to change, because I don't think that is healthy, but it's something that I really, really see in the academic realm. And I think it's just interesting how we all adopt it, because I've definitely caught myself bragging about how much I study too, which, like, honestly is nothing to brag about, but it's just, it's interesting. All right, I kind of wanted to segue from hustle culture into social media culture, which is also something that I have been heavily influenced in my formative years by. And I'm so excited to talk about this because I think it is incredibly interesting. So many of my formative years were set at the age of social media. Just to kind of put this into perspective, I can't really remember any part of my life without, like, iPhones or social media. For example, like, my sister and mom had iPhones when I was, like, in third grade, and I remember playing games on them. And then I remember, like, Instagram was, like, popular, like, among, like, us fourth graders and stuff. Like, it's just really, really interesting to think about, like, I didn't go through middle school without social media, and I didn't go throughout high school without social media, and for, like, a good chunk of grade school too, social media was very prevalent. So clearly that is, social media is very, very new, and I grew up in the time where it's newest. So when I was in grade school, it wasn't super normal to have an Instagram account, but some kids did. But then through, like, all of middle school and high school, social media and posting with your friends and everything was the norm. So essentially, when I was in fourth grade and stuff, Instagram was just, like, stupid stuff. Like, we'd post a photo of a candle or some new nail polish. Like, it was silly, but that's because we were younger and we weren't caring about, you know, what our Instagram feed looked like. And also, like, I don't think social media influencers were a thing at all. Although, like, I could be wrong, but I really, like, if there were social media influencers, I was not following them. But then the time middle school came around, Instagram was, like, very, very common, where all of us had accounts. But then with that, like, middle school alone, everyone is kind of trying to find themselves and just going through that awkwardness. And then, so if you have that awkwardness with social media, I think it becomes a lot harder because everyone's kind of trying to find their group and stuff. And then I just remember how we got to the point, like, especially in my middle school, where, like, if you didn't take a photo together when you were hanging out, you guys weren't hanging out. And I'm so, so happy that I kind of figured out, like, how negative caring about your follower count and caring about the amount of likes on a post, you know, caring about all that and realizing how negative and toxic that is. I kind of, in eighth grade, decided to get off social media. And since that was kind of a while ago, I don't remember, like, the exact moment or the exact realization. And honestly, I'm thinking it was kind of a buildup, but I just remember, like, looking at my friend going, like, oh, she's, like, 10 more followers than me, and getting upset about it and stuff, and just really, like, focusing on it. And so I just decided to delete Instagram when I was in eighth grade, perhaps seventh grade, I'm not quite sure, but, and I never really looked back since. And I'm so, so happy I did that, because some of my friendships in freshman and sophomore year, like, my friends would want to post stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, you guys can post, but I'm not going to be in it and stuff. So I feel like that's something where I was able to really see what friendships are real, because my friends knew that, like, I'm going to hang out with you, but I'm not going to post with you. And that's when I really found, like, my real friendships. And that's cool too, because I feel like if you do that, it's somewhat rebellious in a way. And then also, like, you have a little bit more power in a sense, because people don't get to see who you hang out with all the time, and people don't get to see your special moments and stuff, and they're all for you. And I'm so, so happy that eighth grade Sierra made the decision to delete Instagram, because I feel like I've had so many great experiences. And with those experiences, I didn't feel pressure to post about them, which only makes them that much more special. Because it's like, oh, I went to, you know, a show with my friend. Like, we went to, like, a show at the theater and stuff and saw a play there. And it was so cool because it was just for us, and it wasn't something we needed to post about. It wasn't something we needed to brag about or anything. Like, it was just something for us, and it was something for our friendship, which I think just makes everything so much more exciting and real. And I think that is so cool and something that I am so excited to carry on throughout my life. And so then with other social media platforms, I deleted them slowly, but then now personally, like Snapchat is the only social media platform I use, and that is only to talk to friends. I don't like post my story or anything. And then again, like I just feel like so, like when I hang out with people, I don't need to post it to my story, or I can have Snapchat videos, but they're just for myself. And I think that is so cool because I've seen people in my grade like hang out with people. They just take videos of them having fun and then they stop taking the video and then they're all just on their phones. Like it's so, so fake and it's so unhealthy, but I totally understand why people do it because that's what everyone else is doing. And then they feel like they need to keep up. Like if Bethany is, if you're friends with Bethany, but Bethany has other friends and Bethany only posts with her friends, well, then when you're hanging out with friends, you better post because you got to keep up with Bethany and what Bethany is doing. You know, no hate on Bethany. I don't know who this Bethany person is. No hate. Love you. But it's just like kind of like a new, like, ugh, I'm going to sound so old saying this. Ugh, but it's like a new, like, keeping up with the Joneses kind of deal. I don't know. My dad uses that phrase all the time. Probably not with it knowing his age, but whatever. It's okay. So, yes, it's just one of those things where you're just always having to keep up with the new. And I'm so, so excited that and so happy that I removed myself from that where, and I've even had friends say like, you know, I just love hanging out with you because you're so real and you don't do something just to take a video of it and post it. Like when we go out to lunch, it's us going out to lunch. And then it's cool too because, you know, some people in my grade, I didn't really get along with. And then if I were to post on social media what I was doing, then they would see and then they only get to be more and more in my life where I'm like, no, if I don't get along with you and I don't like you, I don't want you to be in my life. But then I also don't want to do like the blocking thing because it's like I don't care that much either. So I think it's such a great way to kind of be a little bit more intimate and also just, you know, like you can be almost selfish and rebellious in a sense. Ew, I hate that I'm using the word rebellious, but I feel like it kind of is honestly, and just keep fun moments to yourself and people don't get to know what you're up to. And you'll have to call to see what I'm up to because I'm not going to tell you about it on social media. So you'll have to actually come and hang out with me or come and talk to me, which in a way I think is so much more real. And I think that's why the friendships that I do have are so, so strong and just like loving in a different sense because we don't ever post with each other. And so it's cool too because then people who I don't get along with who are still on my social media or like they don't know that we're hanging out. They don't get to know that part of my life. But then, you know, I know what's going on in my life, which is really the only thing that matters where like, again, this Bethany chick doesn't need to know what's going on in my life because I don't need to tell her. And I think that's something that if you're kind of in a position where you see that in your own life, I would just recommend taking a step back from social media because I think that's what I did at first. And then it just came up from going like, okay, I just don't want this in my life. So that's the thing. I was talking to a friend and he was just like, Instagram makes me upset. Snapchat makes me upset, but I don't actually delete it. You actually delete it. And that's probably why you're happier in your life and you don't feel as unfulfilled. I'm like, yes, that's exactly why. And then he never deleted Instagram and Snapchat, but hopefully he will do that later on in life. And overall, I kind of touched on this with my Bethany example. I feel so bad. If you're listening to this and your name is Bethany, I'm sorry. I just pulled that name out of, I don't know. So, well, we can use another name like Sarah. I'm using like kind of common names. So please don't be offended, Bethany or Sarah, but whoever you are, if you're listening. But I feel like it is overall very toxic to hang out with people to only post. And that is something that is truly generational. But also I do see some people on Facebook, I feel like do the same thing and they are not 18 years old. They're like 50 plus doing toxic things on Facebook too. So it just goes to show it's not that we're young and don't know what we're doing. It's just that this is new and anyone can kind of fall into that trap. Because I feel like I would have fallen into that trap, and I've been in friends that have been in that trap. And, you know, it's kind of cool to, you know, if you feel like social media isn't best for your life, you can always take a step back and return. You know, you're not going to lose your follower count or anything. All that will be there. So you can always just kind of take a break and take a step back. And I think that is really, really important. I kind of went off on a tangent there. I didn't even, a lot of this stuff I didn't even take notes on, but oh well. Well, hopefully it was a lot more passionate and a lot more real and innate for what I'm saying, because it's truly what I believe. But overall, you know, the meaning of this podcast, it's truly a coming of age podcast. And I feel like my friends all, like, in a way, I feel like I'm just kind of talking about my experiences and my experiences with my friends. So yeah, this is my like coming of age ideas and stuff, but I'm sure everyone else's is different. So it's really cool to be able to share this with you all, and that you guys all are really liking this and liking what I have to say. So I will be in a new setting the next time I speak with you. I will be in my dorm room recording this podcast, and I can't wait to share all that with you. I may or may not take a week off from the podcast. It just depends on how my schedule looks, starting college and everything. But so I don't post next Wednesday if I don't upload a new podcast. Don't you fear. I will be here, just not next week, perhaps. But maybe I will. I don't know. I just have not made up my mind on that yet. But anyways, I really hope you all enjoyed this episode. I know I kind of titled it Adopted Toxicity, which is kind of a dramatic title, but hopefully it got you to click and learn and enjoy. But I wasn't just going to rant about what people do that are toxic. I just wanted to talk about like some behaviors that I think are very, very common to pick up, and how people my age have picked them up, and why I think they're unhealthy, and why we should try to change and try to be better. Because self-improvement will like never stop, is what I've learned. Because I used to always think like, okay, I'm going to work and get to a point where I don't need to self-improve. Well, that's not happening. You always need to self-improve. So this is kind of my acknowledgement slash trying to self-improve myself. And I hope you all enjoyed it. And I will see you next time. Thank you.